Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Pop Culture University, the university where you learn everything going on in the world of pop culture. You can take some notes on the celebrities, take some notes on life, and just do a whole bunch of learning. And I'm here as your professor to tell you everything that's going on. Professor Patty, you may know me from TikTok, Instagram, OF, as Patty Pop Culture. If it's your first time here, thank you so much for coming. If it's not your first time here, thank you so much for coming back. I love you. I stan you. I'm in your fandom. Today, we have a very special guest, Grady. Welcome to the podcast.
I'm Grady. Thank you for having me, Patty.
Of course. So, Grady is jobless, but not toothless. Do you watch the Real Housewives?
I don't, actually.
There's this, like, one of them made a charity. One of the affluent women made a charity called Homeless Not Toothless, just to degrade the homeless people a bit more. They are homeless, but they will have nice teeth. Okay. So, good for them. So, no, Grady is here. He's very proficient in pop culture. And he kind of worked like behind the scenes a bit of social media and that whole world. So I'm very excited to have him. He's the teacher's pet, the TA of the day.
Excited to be here.
My teaching assistant. So Grady's going to help us move through the episode. He's kind of like my Josh on the Just Tris podcast. But today we're going to get into all the buffoonery. And 2024 is really the year of celebrities acting a complete fool. It is wackadoodle time. Every time I wake up on my phone and I check it, I'm scared. I'm shaking. The buffoonery this year is off the charts. Everyone is like ruining their brand completely. The people who had a good year in 2023, they're scrapping the whole thing. So we're going to get into Britney and Justin, Timberlake. Yes, that 20-year-old drama we're bringing up again. Taylor and Travis talking about how they're going to have their High School Musical moment at the Super Bowl. Taylor Swift AI images. And if the NFL is rigged, then we're going to end with, of course, the downfall of Nicki Minaj. And we're going to dissect the DNA of the best diss track to ever exist. Hiss by Megan Thee Stallion. But before we get into it, rate the podcast 5 stars. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you're on the YouTube version, you're seeing my gorgeous face, our gorgeous faces. Make sure to like, subscribe. And yeah, students, welcome to Pop Culture University. Take your seats. Class is in session. If I get jealous, okay, guys, so just because Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake may have buried the hatchet, it doesn't mean they didn't keep a map of where they put the hatchet to dig it back up. Because Justin Timberlake, he came back to music. I'm not sure why. I don't know if he was really in demand. I saw him getting clowned on Twitter anytime he would do a live performance. I don't know if he's bringing sexy back the way he was in 2004, you know, after he's ruined multiple women's careers. But he's back with a new song called Selfish. And the girls and gays are actually enjoying it. They're giving him his sixes where he deserves his sixes. But his song, Selfish, it's decent. Have you heard his song?
I've been purposely not giving it streams, actually, so.
Work. Honestly, I wouldn't give him streams either. But the gag with this song is Justin Timberlake wants to have the biggest comeback of all time. And I hate the narrative Justin Timberlake writes about himself. I don't know if my listeners here, you remember the early 2000s, 2010s era of Justin Timberlake. I feel like every moment his PR team was trying to craft an image for him, as they would do more so with celebrities back in the day, but they would definitely give host or anyone presenting him on a public stage a script to talk about him. And they would always refer to him as the GOAT. Before the GOAT was even a thing, they would always call Justin Timberlake one of the best to ever do it. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but anytime he has a public appearance, they just shower him with praise. Like, they want him to be the Michael Jackson of some sorts.
Like, more, yeah.
Yes, and it seems so unnatural. Even he was brought out on the 1989 World Tour with Taylor Swift, and she was like, I'm going to bring out one of the best to ever do it, the best songwriters, best dancers, and I just don't see it. No. I've never seen it. Even if we're comparing him to his contemporaries, his peers, Britney Spears was way more the GOAT than he was. She had way more impact. Yeah, he had a few good albums, Cry Me a River, Bringing Sexy Back, Mirrors. They were moments. I'm not a Justin Timberlake hater, but I always found myself getting annoyed by how pompous and just boisterous he was about his career when I feel like he maybe didn't deserve it. So that definitely didn't stop this week. He was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And the whole time, God bless Jimmy Fallon. I'm sure he was ordered to do this. But he was hyping Justin Timberlake up, saying, like, I've never seen someone work harder than you. I've never seen someone produce their songs better than you or put their whole soul into their songs better than you did. And the whole time, just like, is anyone believing this?
Like, where is it coming from type of thing? You know, like, like, where do you back this up with? Like,
exactly. If there were some obvious accolades or some obvious impact of the past, and yes, there was. Of course, he was in NSYNC. Right. Of course, he had his solo moment. He's good. He's great. But I'm not saying he's the best of all time when you know, he was growing up in the era of Britney and Michael was still doing his thing in the 90s and the 2000s. And Beyonce was really up and coming, so massively becoming the legendary number one in the whole world. I just don't know where Justin Timberlake thought he was going to stand out in that world. But I feel like it's just, you know, the white man who thinks he's a triple threat doing it all, the white straight man. So good for Justin, but his fans didn't want him to get the last laugh because his song Selfish was only number 2 on iTunes. Guess what song was number 1? The Britney Army. I don't even know what her fan base is called.
I don't either.
That's so weird. Yeah. They're one of the most present fan bases, though.
They're super active.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, still, even though Britney is not very active, her fan base will not die. The Britney fans made Britney Spears' album track off of her 2011 Femme Fatale album, Selfish, go number 1 on iTunes just to torment him. Like, they're literally tormenting him 20 years after their beef. And I'm here for it. Because honestly, Justin Timberlake tormented her throughout the slut shaming of Cry Me a River and making jokes about her during the blackout era. So I think he deserves a bit of toying with. We're not totally sabotaging him. It wasn't a thing where they were like, don't stream Selfish, just stream Britney. They were like, let's just tease him a bit and give him a hard time because this is what he deserves. But I love the pettiness of the fans making Britney Spears' song number 1. I love a petty fan base, a fan base who has jokes, a fan base who unionizes. Who's your favorite fan base to just see what they do and their antics?
Mine is the Swifties. Like, they always got it. You know, they're always going to be petty in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But I do love this because, like, this was supposed to be his big, like, comeback. Like, you know, this coincided with the release of her book, which also, like, kind of dampened it. But then, like, them getting this old track of hers from an album forever ago to chart. That's golden. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I didn't even know enough people knew the album track to
I've never heard
be
of
honest.
It before.
I've never heard of it. I'm a Britney fan, but I don't know. I feel like Britney's just not the album's artist like that. I'll try to go back through her album sometimes. I've just never heard Selfish, but it's a bop. It's number 1. The thing is with Britney, though, Britney's always ruining the plot. Britney's fans will set her up so much, they will hike the ball to her to do something so funny and amazing, and she fumbles it every time. Like, she doesn't want to join in on the laugh of, she just doesn't appreciate her fan base sometimes and what they do for her. So when Britney saw this was happening, she actually backtracked on everything she said about Justin in her book. If you don't remember, she wasn't necessarily trashing him. She was just telling the truth of the past of what happened. Justin encouraged her to end her pregnancy, and he got her pregnant and definitely tormented her in the media and was laughing at her and mocking her. And so while Britney could have been like, LOL, thanks, guys, and just been very happy about this, in between dance breaks, she put down her fake knives and went to Instagram and said, I want to apologize for some of the things I wrote about in my book. If I offended any of the people I genuinely care about, I'm deeply sorry. I also wanted to say I'm in love with Justin Timberlake's new song, Selfish. It's so good. Girl, bang my head against a fucking wall. Are you serious? Like, blink twice if you need help. Do you need to be freed again? This really made me mad. And I don't care if this is some sort of peaceful, like, treaty going on between them. She's trying to put this behind her. I don't care if it's grown. I don't care if it's mature. How are you going to write a book about him 6 months ago and then negate the whole book? I feel like she dismissed everything she put in her book already. You could burn it. It doesn't mean anything anymore now that she's like, by the way, I already want to apologize. Why are you apologizing for telling your truth?
Like, apologizing for what? You know, just like,
exactly.
You're just saying what happened to you. And
It's not like she said Justin is some big hoe gay bitch. She was just like, he's slightly trash.
Right. Like, this is your side of the story. It's not something you need to apologize for.
Yeah. Brittany, you've lost the plot again. And I am happy for you that you're grown and mature, but at the same time, it pisses me off. This is the ultimate separating the art from the artist. She was like, yeah, this artist kind of made my life a living hell for 20 years and is responsible for a part of my trauma in my life. But this song slaps, so I can forget all of that.
Right.
If she can separate the art from the artist, I guess we all can too. Whatever, Brittany. I'm happy for you.
I think we'll get into it later, but I think this was a great opportunity to just not say anything. Mm-hmm. And just let your fans get this song to chart above it and just take that win and move on.
Yeah, her fans said all she really needed to say, which other people can learn from, for sure, here at Pop Culture University. So that was the bell ringer, the little opener course. One of the main courses I want to get into today. Wait, I promised you guys in the channel on Instagram that I would read you this that I was sent the other day. So if you don't know, I am indebted to Ariana Grande. I love her so much. She's the wind beneath my wings. She's my everything. No pun intended. She raised me. So I will defend her to the death of me. And the video where I was defending her on YouTube for the podcast actually did very well on YouTube. So shout out to you guys for that. And I'm not sure if Ariana Grande saw it because her team emailed my manager and told me that they want to send me merch. So I was like, whoa, oh my God, Ariana Grande saw my face. At the same time, I'm like embarrassed, like don't see my face. Like my queen, like I don't want her to perceive me. I just want her to like feel my support. But her team emailed my manager and I posted like 5 TikToks about her too. One of them I was doing the Be All Right dance, like trying to hype myself up for her new song. One of them I was ranking her lead singles. And one of them I was trying to basically fight away the homewrecker rumors. So I at the same time, I like that she saw it, but I don't want her to see me getting messy for her. Like when your parents are like going hard for you and they're fighting for you, like they don't want you to see that. Like I don't need her to see me doing anything to defend her. You know what I'm saying?
But like, no, you're supporting though. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
I just want to turn the tides in her favor.
For sure.
Make being an Arianator cool again. Make America Arianators again. So she saw one of the 80,000 posts I made of her last week. The odds were really in my favor. So she said, or her team said, "Hi, Patty. I'm reaching out from Team Ariana. She'd love to send you a yes and crew neck. Can you please send me your full name, address, and size?" And I said, my size is obviously extra, extra small. No, I'm kidding. But I was just so shook because in the past, I've seen her send fans merch when I wasn't active online. I was like, wow, I wish that could be me. She's so into her crew necks. Like, that's like her favorite thing. Maybe because like the hood obstructs her pony. So she just wants no hood. Are you an Ariana fan?
Of course. And she has great merch too.
See, now everyone else would say the opposite. Wendy Williams was on her show and she literally called her merch shit.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
She was like, look at this shit. There's stains on it. It's $80. I think it's fierce.
That's all merch though. All merch is $80. You know?
I want the stains on it. I want Ariana's like spilled vegan ranch on it. I want Toulouse's shit stains on it.
That's so cool that her team reached out to you though.
I know. So if Ariana Grande have seen me, I'm sorry, girl. I'm sorry that you saw me. Ignore me. I'm sorry an ugly bitch like me would even say anything about you online. But thank you. Like, I love you. And you are innocent. I hate when people are like, her response was so smug. Her response was smug because she didn't do it. If someone was innocent, do you want them to fess up to something? No. Anyway, I have not received my crew neck yet. The Ariana merch team is not having the best reputation with their speed, but I don't care. Even if I don't get it, the fact that I even got the pity email, work. we're going to move into Taylor and Travis. Now, we're going to start with the bad news because there's very good news about these two. They also just launched a new relationship name, which I'm very excited about. But these two have been kind of having the best week and the worst week. It was the best of times, the worst of times. Because Taylor Swift is, again, the victim of some sort of sexual online act that is tormenting her in front of the public. AI photos of her have leaked. Or, I mean, they didn't leak. Like, this person was trying to promote them. But these really nasty, horrid, explicit photos of her.
That's so gross.
Generated by AI went viral. And it's, of course, her at a Chiefs game. And when I woke up and saw these photos, every day when I've woken up in 2024, something else has hit me like a bus. January 2024, just so long. But this truly hit me like a bus. Like, these were photos of Taylor Swift painted red or in blood. Who even knows what the freak was thinking? But smeared over her naked body with explicit writing with like football like player paint on her like butt cheeks and stuff. And they were like 200,000 likes, 100,000 likes. Everyone on Twitter was seeing these. And at first, I guess I didn't think it was that deep because I was like, these are obviously fake. Like, but then I realized, wait, AI like looks very real. That looks like it could just be a photo of Taylor with a filter on it. So retrospectively looking back, if that was you and you had photos like you of that online, that'd be insane. Like how would you feel if you woke up and there was AI generated new photos of you going around?
Right. Well, even if it is AI, it still looks realistic enough where people can get like the depiction and the idea
totally of
something like that happening. It's still so embarrassing and just like degrading.
They have everything they need to do what they want with those photos.
Mm-hmm. And I heard her team's going to take legal action on that, which I think they should. And also, like, I mean, obviously, like, I'm not glad this happened to Taylor, but if anybody for this to happen to, I think Taylor's the one that would like put her foot down to make changes for it, like she did with like Spotify streaming and Apple Music, you know, back in the day.
Yeah. She's definitely like, one to use her power for good.
Right, right. Like, I think if this had to happen to any celebrity, I think Taylor's the one that could help change the legality of, you know, how this stuff works in the future. So
work. Yeah. If the White House will listen to anyone, it's definitely Taylor. And there's been cases where smaller influencers, people have made photos of them and put them online. And there's videos of them like crying, like bawling, so embarrassed, so violated. Like, if you see these, please don't look. I forgot what her name was, but she's like a Twitch streamer, of course. Mm-hmm. I feel like Twitch streamers are always like sexualized in a way. And that's kind of like what people look for on that app. So it's awful, but it's true. They were just like bawling their eyes out and there was really nothing they could do. Sure, they have some power, like, you know, they have a Twitch following, but they're not gonna get together and try to stop it. So I feel so horrible that this happened for Taylor. And the fact that she still went to the next game to cheer on Travis, mind blowing. Mm-hmm. Like, she just takes these hits. She takes these bullets and just has to keep going. Like, that's just her life. The pressure that she faces on a daily basis is actually so insane. And when you wake up as Taylor Swift, I don't know how she handles the anxiety. Because with all the attention on you, there's predatory eyes and people with bad intent
for sure,
and schemers.
For sure. I saw a video, the last game she was at, a lot of Travis's friends kind of like barricaded around her to kind of keep her hidden a little bit more. I mean, understandably, you know, that she would want that.
Yeah. Travis is so real. I'm always like blown away by him. And I know like in the past, I think past me would be like, oh, I don't want Taylor Swift to date a football player because that just promotes what football kind of stands for, like toxic masculinity and playing into that culture. I was very adamant about that, but I'm like, Travis is just such a perfect guy. Like, he literally is so perfect in every single way and respects her, and he's just emotionally intelligent in that way. So the fact that he had people barricading her, I saw she watched the game from inside the suite for half of it. Like, she wasn't on the glass anymore.
Right.
She kind of like went in the room and was watching it on a TV screen, which is kind of sad that she maybe felt a little bit trepidatious just because of the current climate in the air about her. She's getting booed more than ever at the games too. We can get into that in a second. But the pressure of Taylor Swift at these NFL games is, of course, just getting worse and worse as people torment her a bit more. And these are people who unfortunately don't want her there. Like, these are the Brads, Chads, and Dads who think she's like invaded their territory.
I mean, all she's doing is showing up. Like, she doesn't ask to be put on camera, you know? I think she said that in her Time magazine interview. She's like, I have no control if they, you know, if they show me on camera. That's,
I know.
So her, she's just supporting her man. Like, you know, like, yeah. How can you be mad about that?
Is she supposed to wear a bag over her head?
Right, right.
Or some, like, prosthetic disguise? Like, what do you want her to do? Just not live her life? Yeah, it's almost like when you are so famous, they just don't think of you as a human who has hobbies and, you know, a boyfriend that you would like to support. But if she didn't go, you know, the first thing they would say is, oh my God, you don't support your man. He's just an accessory to you. You don't support him like he supports you, blah, blah, blah. There's also trauma attached to this because of what Kanye West did to her. He made the whole clay wax figure. I don't know what it was, but the wax of her laying in the bed naked.
Oh, Infamous.
Infamous.
Yeah, that's fine.
I still don't know why more legal action was not taken. I think back to that sometimes and I was like, if someone put a naked wax figure of me next to Kanye West and Caitlyn Jenner, it would be on site. Like, there would be, I would take you to the highest court of the land, the Supreme Court. We're not going to a local court here. Like, we are fighting this out in the streets. So I don't know why Taylor didn't do more with that, but that was the most heinous thing I've ever seen.
Do you believe in Tay Voodoo? Have you seen those tweets?
Tay Voodoo, of course. Okay. Of course. I think anyone who raises their tongue against the Taylor Swift will fall. So the man who leaked these, his name is Zubeira Abdi.
Oh, I didn't know they figured out who it was.
Oh, yeah. Like, he's crazy. He was tweeting things like, I don't care how powerful the Swifties are, they'll never find me. I'm like the Joker. I use fake numbers and addresses for everything I do. As long as my accounts are active, I can't lose. He said, I'm crazy. But the Swifties said, we're crazier. They found him that day, doxed him. All his information was out. All of his accounts were taken down. So Tay Voodoo got to him very fast. And I hope he goes to, like, jail. This should be classified as sexual assault, in my opinion, because it is. Taylor is considering legal action. The White House issued a statement to Congress and said the images are alarming and need to act for legislation on deep fakes. They're already making changes. Elon Musk's team at X said it will hire 100 full-time staffers to crack down on sexual exploitation after AI-generated photos of Taylor Swift went viral on social networks last week. Now, fake photos of celebrities have kind of been happening forever,
right?
Whether if because it's for Photoshop, which you know a lot about. I'm sure you've seen them.
Oh, for sure.
When I was like 13, I was obviously always searching Ariana Grande because I was obsessed with her. And there was always this one photo that people would try to put around of her with the red Cat Valentine hair with a like photoshopped onto a body that looked nothing like her. And I was like, do people believe this? This must be so infuriating that people think this photo is fucking real. And now with AI, it just gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, I feel like it's getting harder to tell, especially because like Photoshop, people are improving. Like there's some merch I've seen of Photoshop pictures of artists having their faces that's not actually them. It's like on some model or something, but their fans don't know. And they buy the shirt thinking it's a real picture of them.
Yeah. That's and crazy. With AI, you can just sexualize it more because it's not like you have to use like real material. You can live out some weird ass fantasy.
For sure.
With AI.
But like we said earlier, like what jobless behavior? Because
like, the most jobless behavior ever.
You literally have to enter like such like a precise prompt to do that and like revise it and edit it and make sure that you get like the exact results that you're looking for. Like who thinks of that? Like who has time for that?
Imagine how many drafts he had. If you hacked his hard drive and looked at all the photos of the celebrities he probably had, your eyes would like burn and roll back into your
disgusting,
head.
Disgusting, yeah.
Now, I'll be real here, because I'm all about being real. I have looked at AI-generated photos of Henry Cavill and been like, these are hot.
You're so real.
and Shawn Mendes and Nick Jonas, I'd be like, these are hot. They were never like nude, corn, you know, full throttle XXX, but they were just like them at the gym, and I was like, ooh, add this to my likes, but I'm like, no, Patty, that's weird. Like, Henry Cavill didn't consent to this.
Right.
Like, he doesn't look like this. He's like, sweaty in the gym. It's cute. People always make, like, the Superman edits of him. But just because he's, like, this big, strong man doesn't mean he wants that either. So anytime I see an AI photo of Henry Cavill at the gym, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to look. Oh, my God, this is so embarrassing because on my Instagram story, like, 2 weeks ago, you know that pill bottle meme? It's a pill bottle and then Lois Griffin from Family Guy, and like looking at the pill bottle like she can't resist it. I put me with AI photos of Henry Cavill on it. So if y'all saw that, this is me owning up to it. I'm done.
At least you're aware, and now you can you know, do better in the future.
Yes, but I would never like be a freak and like draw the line. I would know where to draw the line at that point. And there's enough enticing photos of him in the Superman films that he consented to. That's so very true. Anyway, Travis is going to the Super Bowl. He won against some other American team in the 104th season of the NFL on whatever night of the week it was. So after he won, him and Taylor had their whole High School Musical moment and ran up to each other on the field. And it was actually so cute. It was giving the Notebook. Taylor's hair was a bit wet and curly, and she ran up to him and they kissed. And then Travis looked at her and said, Taylor, after he got to the Super Bowl, he said, Taylor, I'm going to go celebrate with the guys. Fucking excuse me. I'm Times Person of the Year and you're going to go celebrate with the guys. I'm fucking Taylor Swift and you're going to go celebrate with your teammates. No, celebrate with me.
That's fair. He did say, I love you, Tay. And she said how proud he was, or she said how proud she was of him.
You know, when like they win and they lift someone up in the huddle on them, they should have lifted up Taylor and been like, yay, Taylor, thank you. She's the MVP.
Didn't the coach of the team like thank Taylor for coming along with them? And she's like, I didn't do anything. He's like, no, you've been along with us the whole way.
I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a coach or not. It was some guy.
She did a lot. Before we get into that. So they were kissing. The Braz and Chads threw up when they saw that. They threw their fifth beer their stained futon and were pissed.
They were not happy.
Taylor said, I can't believe you did that. I've never been so proud of you ever. She said, yes. Yes. I'm not going to call him daddy. That's fucked up. But she said, slay Travis. But this is very High School Musical coded, because not only, you know, she wears short skirts, I wear t-shirts, he's cheer captain. Oh, she's cheer captain, I'm on the bleachers. It's giving footballer high school fantasy, that scene in High School Musical where Troy's like about to win the championship and what's her name? And Gabriella stands up and she's like, Troy, right now I can hardly breathe. Oh, you can do it, just know that I believe. And that's all I really need. So come on, make me strong. I love High School Musical. Sorry, I got carried away. But they made each other bracelets. Kind of like T as in Troy. Or T as in titties. Whatever you want it to stand for. But there says TNT. Because that's their new relationship name. It's not Tavis. It's not Trailer. Trailer is so like not aesthetically pleasing to me.
Trailer's not good.
No. And they were going with that for a while. I was like, why do you want to think of a trailer right now?
And I realized that the other day, that their names are both so similar. And that's almost like another mastermind moment from her.
Mm-hmm. She's like, always thinking about
Taylor, Travis.
Branding.
Like, for sure. Like marketing queen. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm. She stands on business when it comes to her personal brand. But their new name is TNT. And see, this is why I love Travis. He got her like a golden, I don't know if it's real gold. I'm sure it is. But it looks like a Eras Tour friendship bracelet that you would trade and pass around. Or, you know, he put his phone number on one to give to her. And now their relationship name is on a golden friendship bracelet. And that is so cute. That is
so cute.
Give him his fucking tens, bitch. For sure. He is a mastermind. He deserves her.
He does. She deserves this too. Like, yeah. I'm so happy for her.
I love it. I can already hear the song, like, our love was explosive, like TNT or something. But yeah, I don't get why anyone hates them. They love life. They are in love. And the world is so shitty and horrible. They're just a ray of light in
They're just doing their thing. The darkness. You know, and it's fun to watch and it's fun to see them happy.
They're kind of one of the only good pieces of media that you hear these days.
Right. I saw like a thing. It was like, this is what someone said, like, this is what I imagine living through like an old like Hollywood relationship would be like, you know, a long time ago when there was big famous relationships. So like this is like our modern version. I don't know. This is the closest thing I've seen to that, I guess.
It is so cinematic in that way. Mm-hmm. And they have the world's attention in a way that's kind of rare these days.
For sure.
So we all have our eyes on it. We're all invested. But people are thinking, you said Taylor is the MVP, or one of us did. Do you think the NFL is rigged because the NFL wants to bring Taylor to the Super Bowl to therefore boost the profits? Because Taylor, her presence at these games have already created a brand value for the NFL and the Chiefs combined of $331.5 million, with female viewership being the highest it's been in 25 years.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense that it would be, and that they would want her to continue to going, you know, to keep going to these games.
Period.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people saying that NFL is scripted and that this was kind of like set up that way. I know there's a lot of straight football fans that I asked their opinion on, because I don't know anything about football.
No, me too.
And, and they didn't think, like, statistically that the Chiefs, right?
Chiefs. Yes, yeah. I believe so.
would actually be able to win it. Like, or, you know, even make it this far along. So
that's what I heard.
That's why a lot of them are saying, like, oh, this is scripted, this is rigged, because this is all working in their favor when really they didn't have the actual, like,
I know,
skill set to make it there on their own.
No, that's what I low-key was wondering too, because I was asking some straight men in my life. I had to, like, phone a friend because I didn't understand. I don't know the rules, so I don't know how to break them to rig them. Do you know what I'm saying? All I know is, like, it's a vibe. You get drunk and cheer when everyone else does. Like, mm-hmm. that's all I do at a football game. When everyone screams, I'm just like, yeah, woo. But I don't really understand the fucking rules. So no, like, I was asking around, my dad. Like, yeah, right. I'm like, everyone cheer if you think I have a fat ass. And then everyone's like, woo. I love those posts when the football stadium's going crazy. And someone's best. Like, cheer if you think I have a fat ass. but yeah, my dad was like, no, they're not gonna make it. They're just not doing the thing this year. They need to level their pussy up. That's what my dad said. They need to level their pussy up.
Like, and explain it to me in a way that I can understand it. And that's how you do it. That makes sense.
Yeah, he was like, the tight end is fumbling and there's interference on the receiving in the end zone. And I was like, say it in a way I get. Mm-hmm. He was like, they're flappiana. They're living in flop city. So they're not slaying. So I was like, oh, okay.
They're like not giving right now.
It's, just, yeah. It's not giving when it needs to give. So apparently they're really good. And Travis is like really respected because they're in the Super Bowl now. But I asked y'all, maybe y'all know more than me about football, on Instagram polls, if you think it's rigged. And after a nationwide vote, 1,000 people about have voted, and 63% of you think it is rigged. Period. Wow. Now, is there proof of this? Even I remember Deflategate. Do you remember that?
I do, vaguely. I wasn't like, that wasn't really my thing. You know, football, I'm like, oh,
of course,
somebody lost. Ooh.
But the second there was controversy and tea over someone's like morals, if they were cheating to win, I was like, oh, what's going on?
For sure.
So apparently someone's like deflating the ball to make it easier to catch or something. I don't know. But that could be an example. Basically, there's been a lot of viral videos this week of suspicious calls and suspicious plays, as if defensive players were not defending purposely as good as they should, so the Chiefs can get to the end zone and win the game. So the Chiefs can score a goal and get a three-pointer. Basically, that's what people were saying they were doing. So people also said Travis should have gotten multiple penalties for unsportsmanlike behavior, but he didn't. These were some of the comments under a Barstools podcast. And, you know, when you're on Barstools, like, that's the Sports Central. You get attention. Someone said, of course it's rigged. If Kansas City makes a Super Bowl, women viewership goes up by the millions because of Taylor Swift, meaning more ad revenue for the NFL. Many calls were supposed to be made in favor of the Ravens, but they got penalties instead. And then the two hosts on Barstool's podcast said that during multiple of the field goals, the ball was going really left, but then took a hard right as if it was being directed or manipulated in some way so the Chiefs could get more points. And they said, it's in the script. This is what the NFLers say. It's in the script.
In the script.
If they want to talk shit about the refs or the NFL, they say, oh, they're just sticking to the script. That's really what you say when you're down bad. Like, it's rigged. There's cheating when your team sucks that bad. Like, we're about to get into the barbs when Nikki's like, my song isn't going number one because it's rigged. Oh, that's just what you say when you're down bad. But But they said, right, it's in the script. It's rigged for Mahomes and for the Chiefs. We can say that pretty much a fact. Wow.
I mean, it's a good excuse, I guess, if you're losing and you need something to, like, you know, not fall back on just your lack of skills or lack of winning. Like, you can blame the refs.
Yeah.
You
know? As soon as bitches start doing bad, they need something they could blame it on. So why not just say it's rigged? Anyway, the NFL kind of poked fun at this in a commercial last year, and they said, for the 104th season of the NFL, they did a commercial about the table read. It was called the Table Read commercial, and they enlisted Key and Peele from the comedy sketch show, and they were going over the script for the next season as if it was scripted to poke fun, and they were saying all these outlandish things that they would do. Like, they said, what if we wrote the Mahomes character out of the script entirely? What if this crazy play happens? Let's make this happen for views. And I don't know if the NFL executive producers really did sit at a boardroom and they were like, how about we add in a character from the outside and do a crossover event? Maybe Taylor Swift was added to the script. But that is very Taylor Swift of them to be like, let's make a commercial artistically addressing our haters and being like, we're going to plan the next season of the NFL.
They low-key ate with that.
They did. No, the NFL low-key eats sometimes. You know, I said the female viewership hasn't been as high as it has since 2000. You know who else is going to get as high of female viewership that they haven't had since 2000? Usher.
Oh, fair.
Because he's doing the halftime show. Usher, baby. So anyway, whether you like it or not, Taylor Swift is going to the Super Bowl. Period. She's the most powerful person in the world. You didn't think she would go to the Super Bowl? She is.
Y'all goofy assholes look so dumb every time y'all celebrate fake news. Using my name for likes and views. I don't give a fuck what y'all make trend, bitch.
All right, so we need to talk about the biggest news of the week, which is the downfall of Nicki Minaj, and I want to dissect the DNA of the best rap diss track ever. So all was calm in the Gag City Kingdom in 2023. Finally, they were having a good year. Nicki's hits were hitting, the bars were barring, and the barbs were barbing. But then a flaming hot dragon came to the city, planted an egg of destruction to burn it all down. But Megan didn't burn it down herself. She just planted the egg. So the egg was this song called Hiss that Megan released last Friday. When this song came out, I was like, not really anticipating much. I was excited. I like Megan. So I was like, okay, cool. A nice song. Like, I'm excited. But when I heard it, I did not know she was coming to kill. This song was a snake pit trap. Like the title insinuates, and Nicki fell right into it. It's literally the most lethal diss track of all time, and when you aim for the devil, you can't miss. So Megan aimed right for Nicki's pink bob and delivered a kill shot. The most intense lyric in the song that brought down Nicki's whole empire in one line was, these hoes don't be mad at Megan, these hoes mad at Megan's law. Now, if you don't know, Megan's Law is the name of a federal law in the United States requiring law enforcement authorities to make information available to the public regarding registered sex offenders. Now, she didn't even say Nicki's name, but a hit dog hollers. So Nicki's husband is a sexual offender. Nicki's brother is a sexual offender. Her producer that she always works with is a sexual offender. Her frequent collaborator 6ix9ine is a sexual offender. There's more, but Nicki seems to drop her associations with these people faster than she drops songs. So Megan finally said the quiet part out loud and put that line in her song and stood up to the queen in a way that everyone was afraid to. And this was very smart. This is why I'm dissecting how smart this song was. It immediately exposed Nicki's lack of morality, her lack of common human decency. Yes, this was very personal. Like, it did go for her family. But what does a snake do before it bites? It hisses. Basically, Megan was saying, I had a reason to say all this. In the song, she also says, I don't really know what the problem is, but I guarantee you don't want me to start. Because Megan doesn't know what the problem is with Nicki, but Nicki disses Megan every chance she gets. On every single lead single from Pink Friday 2, Nikki dissed Megan. On the song Super Freaky Girl, Nikki said, "Get that goofy girl a chair. She was cocky, I could swear. Till my old tape sold more than your album, drop a tear." Which is a good line. And I think she said, "Get that goofy girl a chair," because she got shot and she can't stand.
Yeah.
So fucked. On Red Ruby DeSleaze, she said, "100 on the horses when we're fixing to leave, but I ain't fuck with horses since Christopher Reeves. That .40, call him, make him dance like a go-go." And if you don't remember, when Tori shot Meg, he said, "Dance, bitch." And his gun was a .40 or whatever that means.
Yeah, it's like the type of gun, right?
Yeah. I'm not, I don't, we I mean, I'm not saying I don't have a gun, but because if the barbs want to come to my house, I deal with much heavier artillery. But yeah, on Fuck the Club Up, the worst diss of all, she said, "Stay in your Tory Lane, bitch. I'm not Iggy."
Not Iggy.
Again, poking fun. By the way, I don't hate Iggy. Like, I would love to be her.
No, like, I've never had a problem with Iggy.
Like, No Money, No Family, 16, the middle of Miami. That was a bop.
Love that one.
So, making fun of her getting shot by Tory again. On Hiss, Megan said, "I'm a big dog, bitch. Can't lil' sis me. Hoes get views when they trying to diss me." Nikki literally only got views. I'm not saying only, but in every one of her hit songs from the album, she dissed Megan, which is definitely worth noting. So her making fun of her getting shot, that meant all bets are off. And Megan's very smart. She's a college graduate. So she waited and she didn't yell and cry. She's like an archer. She like assessed the situation, mm-hmm. had a great plan for attack, pulled back her arrow, aimed, and then fired. She didn't just pounce and attack. So Megan's very smart. And her diss track was almost like evil in its delivery because it was so slick. First, she completely took away all of Nikki's credibility, paralyzing her with any possible diss back because the Megan's Law line was so good. Like, she had the opportunity to do the funniest thing possible, and she did. Then in the song, she says, "I can never be judged by a bitch dancing, making R. Kelly go viral." Now, people don't know, but that was actually about Nikki as well, people think. Because in 2020, Nikki headlined a festival with R. Kelly.
Oh, see, I didn't get that one. I didn't know that.
People had to do, like, digging for that. But in 2020, all of R. Kelly's wrongdoings were known.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So it's like, why would she do that still?
Why would you work with him?
So fucked up. Then she made sure to really get Nikki enraged before she put this out. She wasn't just going for the Megan's Law of it all. She said some other disses, like, "Bad bitch and the walls ain't bending," because Nikki has multiple videos where she has photoshopped and doctored the walls.
The Megatron video, especially.
Oh, did she? Oh, wow. Yeah. I was like, she did look snatched in that.
Look at the walls next time.
No way. See, we have a professional Photoshop correspondent here. That's why you're here right now, to call out Nicki Minaj. Nikki said, "These hoes have no ass, they shots." Nikki has admitted to getting ass shots. Mm-hmm. But a decade after she got them, she admitted after lying about it for a year. So knowing she was enraged, knowing she has no plausible, redeemable proof to prove herself innocent or come back at Megan, knowing Nikki knows the rules of rap, like, Megan made sure Nikki had to respond. Because in the song, Megan said, "These hoes don't be mad at Megan. These hoes mad at Megan's Law. I don't really know what the problem is, but I guarantee you don't want me to start. Bitch, you a pussy. Never finna check me. Every chance you get, bet your weak ass won't address me." So she called her out. Like, she went in the middle of the streets banging pots and pans. Like, come out. Like, you have to fight.
There's no missing it at that point, you know?
Yeah, but I love the line, "Bet your weak ass won't address me," because she got her so mad. She got her in a place where there's nothing to say to make her enraged and just invigorated to make a fool of herself online. Because Megan didn't destroy her career herself, destroy Nikki's career herself. She let Nikki do it for her. So Nikki got so mad, Megan gave her some matches to burn down her own career. And that's exactly what she did. Within 24 minutes of the song being released on Twitter, Nikki was liking thousands of tweets insulting Megan Thee Stallion. Tweets like photos of a dead horse. Tweets saying, "Where are my bitches with two good feet at? Fuck them toes up. Fuck them toes up." She contradicts herself so much too. But then she went live right after her tweet liking spree. Her psychotic tweet liking spree. Full mental break. I don't even know how someone's Twitter fingers could move that fast. It was truly insane. But she went on live and started to tease her diss track that she was cooking up in the studio. And it said, You have 3 Grammys. You have to learn how to rap on beat. Bitch like 6 foot. I call her Bigfoot. She fell off. I said, get up on your good foot. Now, sure, she rhymes foot with foot and foot and foot. But like the bars aren't barring. It's actually like a Dr. Seuss-esque rhyme.
Well, and it's still about the same thing about getting shot in the foot. Like there's nothing new. There's not like other layers on top of it.
Yeah, there's nothing else to say. And someone online called her the Dr. Seuss of her time. And I was like, that's so hilarious because I don't know if you know this, but Dr. Seuss was like an awful person, like morally reprehensible, completely corrupt of any empathy or basic human decency. His only skill was rhyming words together in a clever way that got him fame. So he was like, wait, Nicki Minaj is the Dr. Seuss of her time, which is actually so funny because she's like, I'm the queen of my time. But no, you're the Dr. Seuss of your time. And it's the most outlandish comparison, but it's so true. I'm obsessed with it. So after Nicki got her in this situation where she has nothing to say, she knew Nicki would go to the farthest lengths to try to take Megan down, which would make Nicki embarrass herself. So she wanted Nicki to act like a fool like this. She was really lashing out like a wounded animal trying to survive. That's when you see an animal go crazy. When they're backed into a corner, they got some lashes and like they're trying not to literally die. Like they'll just thrash and go insane. So the apex predator was down. So Nicki started tweeting crazy things like, y'all want to bring up family members and lying on your dead mother. You lied to Gail, fucked on and lied to your best friend's man, told me to drink and go to the clinic if I was pregnant, all because I wouldn't let your funky butt pour liquor down my throat. Bitch thinks she a bully because she got a Rock Nation brunch every year. He told all your tea, but you taken shots to my family. Bwahahaha, get up on your good foot. Every album she's ever released, flopped. Paid media all the time, fraudulent awards, flopped. Horrible actor, can't cry on cue and act like a bookie. It's a chop. Pathological and manipulative liar. This bitch ain't got streams in 84 years. Her team didn't want me to drop because they knew those numbers gonna embarrass her lying lipo ass. Basically, she said a bunch of other things about her, including but not limited to saying that Megan slept with her mom's boyfriend after her mom died, that she lies on her dead mom's grave all the time to manipulate people, that she's a fragment foot bitch because she has bullet fragments still in her feet, which is kind of weird because she says you're lying about getting shot, but you're also a fragment foot bitch.
Right, like the contradicting, like you said.
Yeah, she's really just like spiraling completely. I spiraling isn't even the word for it, but it's just having a psychotic mental break of dangerous proportions. Like Gag City was nuked in this situation. She retweeted a tweet that said, so let me get this straight. Megan knew Nicki was trying to get pregnant and she tried to shove alcohol down her throat on live. False. Nicki was not pregnant at the time. And Nicki was trying to shove alcohol down Megan's throat at the time. Then it said, Megan slept with her best friend's man and allowed her best friend to be dragged all over the internet. False. That's not the reason why they were beefing in court. And even the lawyers who were in the room at the time said that's not the reason why they were beefing. Then it said, Megan suspected Nicki going to the clinic when she knew she was happily trying to get pregnant. Megan had surgery on her body, but lies to the internet to make people think she's going to the gym. We don't know what Megan did, but Nicki, you went to a man's basement to get concrete ass shots in like Tijuana in 2008 so you can have a rap career. I don't know why you're sub-dissing yourself here.
Yeah, like insulting someone for lipo just...
Yeah.
You know, it just doesn't really hit.
And I don't think Megan got lipo. It's not like she had a crazy body transformation. She maybe lost like 5 pounds.
And even if she did, though, like, how are you going to hold that against someone?
No, exactly. It's all just very self-incriminating. She shot her own foot in a metaphoric way, which is, I just think that's so poetic of the whole situation. So she also said that Megan calls her apparent best friend racial slurs behind her back. She's referring to Cardi B, who is of Mexican descent in some way. So I think she said she called her a dirty Mexican.
Something like that.
I don't know if that's... I mean, I'm assuming that's not true because Cardi and Megan continue to hang out all the time. And Cardi would not take any shit like that. And everyone on Twitter was like, Megan is from this part of Texas. She would never say that. The Barbs were doxing anyone who would not agree with what they were saying, as if they were a cult member. And if you go against the cult, you're going to die. They found Megan's mom's grave and said they were going to dig it up. They were calling everyone ugly, whores, slut-shaming them. like the Barbs were all lashing out with Nikki because that's kind of just the fan base that Nikki raises into situations like this. So they're going to act just like her because if they go against Nikki, that's like losing a part of their identity. So they kind of have to. But it's weird that they revert to being misogynist and horrible people just to support their queen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So Nikki put out her song Bigfoot and she did add more to the diss. She said, bitch, you better stop that dialogue before I hit Carl and buy your catalog. Nikki doesn't even own her own catalog and apparently is in debt. Then it says, swearing on your dead mother when you lie, this begging whore talking about Megan's law. For a free beat, you could hit Megan raw. If you're a ghostwriter, party in Megan's jaw. Party Megan don't talk anymore. So Megan definitely wrote this new song that ended your career. So if like she doesn't need a ghostwriter in that way. And then there was a psychotic part where she just kept repeating lying on your dead mama, lying on your dead mama, which to me just deemed Nikki like morally reprehensible. And she waved the white flag at that point. Like there was nothing to redeem left. She ruined her own credibility forever after everything she did to Megan. A lot of people online were saying they think Nikki was on coke and this was a coke rant. And I wasn't going to bring this up. So the Barbs didn't like send me my mom's toe in the mail tomorrow. And then the next day send me her left foot or something. So I wasn't going to bring this up. But Nikki confronted it and said, whenever you see the words coke rant, you know they're mad. If y'all hear how loud I'm laughing, I've never done coke in my life. But if I did, I'd proudly do it. You waited up all night for this ass song, though, right? Yes, Nikki. Nikki thinks the streams and the records she's breaking are people laughing with her. They're laughing at her.
The overall reception to it, though, has been so bad.
Totally.
You know, I feel like people are listening to it out of, like, just to hear, like, oh, what is this? You know what I'm saying? It's not like, oh, yeah, this new song. Like, it's more just like that. They want to hear shock value of it and not a good reaction to it.
Yeah, I streamed it once just for like psychiatric reasons, just to observe.
You have to know, like, right?
Like, yeah, it's like seeing a car crash. I had to look just a little, but I didn't give her any more streams. But it's really, we're in unprecedented times because the internet turned against Nikki completely after seeing her literally be like a savage, like take herself down so low. And I always saw this psychotic part of Nikki behind her eye. And I really thought she was doing really good in 2023, even though I still sensed something was off. It just seemed like she wasn't doing the best and she was one laugh away from a tear. Like she was going to break at any moment. So I feel like Megan knew this was her moment to crack her. She broke Nicki Minaj. At the end of Bigfoot, she stopped rapping. She was just whispering into the mic like, those lies you said about your mom, you don't want them out. She broke her. She couldn't even rap anymore. But this is unprecedented because even Barbs are turning against her. Every tweet is against Nicki Minaj. No one's calling her the queen anymore. If they call her the queen, they're calling her the self-appointed queen of rap. Like she's lost the title of queen because this isn't queen behavior. And people understand like you don't deserve that title if you're not going to act like it.
For sure. I mean, I think of other people that I you know, previously would have put on that same platform as Nicki, like Rihanna, you know, along the lines of Beyonce, like, you can't imagine them doing something like this.
No, like people were tweeting, like, Nikki officially ruined whatever was left of her legacy tonight.
Yeah.
And it's very clear that all the rap beefs before Lil' Kim, Remy Ma, Lotto, Cardi, Iggy, now Megan, they weren't the problem. And I feel like Nikki always is trying to fight this toxicity that she has. And I wish she would feed the good wolf and not the bad wolf, as people would say. But she just fed the bad wolf in this situation. I do think she has a good side. Barbs, I respect you. I love you. I love your loyalty. I have a deep love for Nikki, obviously. I've grown up with her. But in this moment, she fed the bad wolf. And you guys can't, like, you're her stan. And I think as she's the object of your standom, you need to kind of, like, hold her accountable. So, Barbs, I can't ride with her on this. If you're being loyal, I respect that. But try not to, you know, stoop down to that level with her. But I just think this song was so perfect because in the song, Megan addressed anything she knew Nikki might come at her for. She addressed the Tory comment. She was like, don't say anything to me about Tory. If you want to talk about him, write him a letter, schedule a conjugal visit in jail. She's addressed the body shaming or not. She addressed slut shaming comments. She said, if you're going to call me a slut, yes, I have these bodies, but I'm proud of it. And I've used any man I've had sex with and they've talked about me as promo. Like, I'm proud of what I've done. And I thought we would move past that conversation. So it's weird that Nikki was doing this. If we want to psychoanalyze Nikki, what do you think she was going through when she heard that song drop?
You know, I actually saw a post, a really good post about this. Let me see if I can find that. So one thing that someone said, which kind of like we talked about earlier, is getting your lick back isn't always as important as keeping your legacy intact. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think with part of this, like, I don't know that so many people would have clocked it being about Nikki if she wouldn't have
exactly
said that. Like, I think, isn't that called like the Streisand effect?
Right? I wrote that down.
Oh, you did? Okay, sorry, I don't want to take away.
Say it.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't the Streisand effect like back in like the 90s or something, 80s, Barbara Streisand, like someone took a picture of her house and she made a big deal of it in the courts. And so as a result of that, all the reporters started taking pictures of her house to like show it and talk about the story, and it ended up being a way bigger thing than what it would have been if she just would have like let it go under the rug. And I kind of think this thing with Nikki would have been like that. I mean, obviously some people still realize, but it wouldn't have been exactly as big, you know?
Yes. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Streisand effect. Like, if you pay attention, if you give something more attention than it needs, it will blow up when it didn't need to. So like it could have escaped everyone's mind or just went over everyone's head. Mm-hmm. But since you were anxious about it and confronted it, now everyone knows. So exactly, Nikki gave into the Streisand effect, but that's exactly what Megan wanted in this case, because these hoes are mad at Megan. They're mad at Megan's Law. And then she said, I bet you won't address me. Like, she called Nikki out and taunted her. So Nikki was like, I have to address it. So Megan kind of set her up to expose herself, because she never even said her name. She's just like, right. Megan's Law. And now how about you address me and you call out yourself for this being about you? She's literally so smart. Like, this was the most perfectly calculated takedown I've ever seen, because she knew what to do before. She knew what Nikki would react to as it came out, and completely debunked anything that Nikki could say about her after and set her up to destroy herself. This is just the most perfectly calculated takedown of all time. And I've seen so many tweets being like, Megan Thee Stallion is the new queen of rap, Megan Thee Stallion. And like last week, if someone told me Twitter would agree that Megan Thee Stallion is the queen of rap, I would have not believed you.
Oh, for sure.
It's crazy how her mind is so powerful. She has overthrown the queen, dethroned her. This is like a non-peaceful transfer of power that we're seeing. And Nick, she's not going out without a fight. But the village people are like off with her head. She's abused her power as the queen, and there's a new queen.
For sure. And like you said, I mean, I'm a longtime Barb. So this is like, I'm saying? It's like, it's kind of hard. It's hard to see it on her end of it. But also, like, Meg did her thing, you know, and that brought us here.
Yeah, I agree. So as a Barb, do you think you can ever be a full Barb again?
No.
Yeah, I was like, please say no.
That's what I've been saying to my friends, because they've been asking me about it. I was like, I can't defend this, you mm-hmm. know, like.
Indefensible.
Yeah.
Career staining, career almost completely ruining. Nikki will never be respected or admired in the same way ever again. And if this didn't end her career, it changed it forever. And I think rendered her unworthy of the title of queen. And she did it to herself, because Megan Thee Stallion bit her with her snake venom. Now Megan Thee Stallion's doing like a whole plot of songs right now. The first one was Cobra, and it was about her saying she's like sad and depressed. She said, this pussy depressed. I've been there. Like, my pussy's real. Been depressed before, you know? So then Hiss is like when someone who was hurt like lashes out. Mm-hmm. And I think Megan's third song should be called Megdusa. Like ooh, Medusa.
That's good. That's
where
good.
She's like the queen of snakes and like turns people to stone. Mm-hmm. Like she'll freeze them, because Megan, just going along with the whole snake thing, like I'm picturing that one movie. I don't know if it was called like Clash of the Titans or something, but Medusa has a scene and she's just this giant snake with snakes on her head, and she'll turn anyone who goes against her to stone and like freeze them. And she's like frozen Tory Lane's career. She's frozen DaBaby's career. Now she's freezing Nicki Minaj's career. I was like, she's Megdusa. So that should be the name of her next song.
I really like that. She could do a really cool video with that too.
Right? You know? Like Meg Dusa, I'll turn you to stone if you're a loser. You know? So Megan the Third song should be called Meg Dusa. I think it would work so good. So what can we learn from this? I think you can learn how to destroy your own enemy. You basically prod them to do it themselves. You calculate every move about them, what triggers them, what will get them to react, and then lay the seeds for their own destruction. Give them enough rope for them to hang themselves.
Right. I think Megan's like silence right now is also very skillful.
Yes.
Like not saying anything about it yet.
Yeah. She's so good. I'm like madly in love with her. And I always have been on this podcast, but I've always loved Nikki too. So it's interesting to see this transfer of power. And now she's going on tour this summer. Are you going to go to the Hot Girl Tour?
If I can get tickets.
Maybe. I know. I wonder if she'll do arenas or theaters.
I don't know. I haven't heard.
She is massive, but like selling out arenas hard.
That is.
So I don't know. I'm going to try to go though. I'm trying to get like, someone promised me their ticket to the Pink Friday 2 tour, but now I'm like, I don't know if I want to go.
Where were you going to go at like Rolling Loud or?
And in Milwaukee. I was going to go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. Cause I was going to go home in April and then drive to Milwaukee.
Gotcha. I was going to go to like try to go to the Pink Friday 2 tour, but I didn't want to go to Rolling Loud and there wasn't any other like LA dates.
Thank you.
So it was like, well, I don't know.
I know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it'll be an entertaining show if she's still this unhinged. But yeah, I just can't support someone who laughs at someone for domestic violence, is misogynistic, and, you know, is okay with everything else in life that she is going through. So it seems like Nicki Minaj is over and her reign is over. And Hiss is projected to debut at number 2. I've been streaming it every 5 seconds. Every time I remember it exists, I stream it. I've been making so many TikToks about it this week. They're not even doing that good, but I'm like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to keep pushing this narrative. So yeah, students, let me know if you think Nikki's over, if you can defend her. Again, Barbs, I hope you know I was objectively saying all of this. I'm simply the reporter, the vibe checker, the messy reporter of Stan Twitter, reflecting the vibes that y'all were putting out. So don't dox me. Don't waste your time. You know, I am a nomad. I don't have an address. I come and I go. So don't even bother. I have a Shih Tzu who will bite your ass. So I'm just kidding. But anyway, thank you guys for joining me this week. We have to wrap it up here. So next week, get excited for the continuation of the Nikki and Megan saga. I'm also going to finish my conversation about how the concept of being a main pop girl is dead on my YouTube channel. I'm going to make a whole YouTube video about it instead of continuing that on the podcast. I'll update you if I get the Ariana Grande merch. Thank you, Grady, for coming again.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Thank you for joining in on the tea spilling on the Kiki. It was amazing kikiing with you. And y'all, I will see you next Tuesday. Not trying to call y'all cunts, but I'll see y'all next Tuesday. All right. Bye, everyone. Love you all. Class dismissed. Mwah. Mwah. Mwah.